This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
We're reading from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, 14 and 15, and 21 to 23. Then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him, having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is, with unwashed hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other such things you do." Verses 14 and 15. When he had called all the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him. Those are the things that defile a man." In 21 and 22, "For from within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. This is a tough passage to read because we come away with the thought that much of what we have known or learned about how to be a Christian may be wrong. Why? Because this passage does talk about a series of do's and don'ts. But now God had the rules for washing and cleanliness he gave in the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. But what we're talking about in this passage is not the washing described in the law and the stuff that was given by the Lord himself. For the record, the Pharisees had hand washing ritual. This ritual was this. They splashed a little water on their hands and then wiped them with a certain cloth in a certain way. But the water had to be applied a certain way, and the movements with the cloths had to be done a certain way. This was rabbinic tradition, a rule set up by the rabbis over the years between the prophet Malachi and the appearance of John the Baptist. So, what's at issue here? What's at issue here is something sort of like human one-upsmanship. I do these things to be holy. Do you do the same things as me? So it's an attempt to look holy and to try to be holy on standards that people set for themselves and for others. It often goes like this in everyday life. "Did you see what Bob and Susan did last night? They went to a bar and drank several mixed drinks. I would never do that." That's exactly what we're talking about here. Huh? Someone might respond, "I can't believe it. And those two people go to church every week? I can't believe they're Christians if they would do something like that." You ever hear anybody talk like that? There's a cartoon going around on the internet, and it shows this huge, burly-looking guy sitting in a church pew. He's wearing jeans with holes in the knees. He has a skull and bones tattoo, and he has on a Levi's jacket with the sleeves cut off. But he's sitting in that church pew and he's got the Bible open. And the cartoon bubble above his head has the guy whispering a prayer, "Lord, forgive me. I want to be like you." But the people on either side of him are aghast at his appearance. And there are whisper bubbles above them that say, "That man can't be a Christian. He's not dressed right. I would be ashamed to come to church looking like that." Thankfully, this is not as much of an issue as it used to be, because I grew up in a church that was exactly like that. There were unwritten expectations about what one should be wearing when they come to church. From the time I was in first grade to when I graduated from high school, if you were a guy, you'd better be wearing a tie. For ladies, the expectations were equally as high. Dresses and hats. High heels. And oh yeah, high heels, they gotta have those. And there was an unspoken competition weekly on outdoing the other families with how good you could look. Folks, that's the Pharisees on steroids. The issue is why Jesus quoted the passage from Isaiah immediately after the Pharisees acted offended by his disciples not following that washing ritual. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That's the key, where our heart is. Here's a word of wisdom for everyone, and for what it's worth, if the Bible doesn't say outrightly that something is a sin, then it's a matter of conscience. And if we're seeking a deeper walk with Jesus, our heart will be focused on doing things that please Him, living a lifestyle that's pleasing to the Lord. Now, obviously, there are things the Bible doesn't mention that it could not have mentioned at that time because those things weren't known, such as take any of the drugs, heroin, was it cocaine, marijuana, that stuff. Nobody knew about that back then. However, in the scriptures, there are prohibitions on intoxication. So you can pretty well think that that covers getting high or stoned or whatever you want to call it. Now, porn is another thing. It wasn't mentioned then, but the biblical principles on marriage and sexual purity are clear enough to where we know that porn and any sex outside of biblical marriage is wrong. Period. Outside of that, if there's no biblical prohibition against it, it's most likely a matter of conscience. But here's where we can get into trouble and cross over the line with that. It's when God has convicted us of something like card playing, playing pool, eating pork, or something else like that, that we should not go around to try to gauge everyone else's spirituality based on those things. Because they may not have a conflict of heart about playing pool or cards or whatever. And as we all know, food is a major issue. The dispute between meat eaters, vegetarians, and vegans is an example. Have you ever disputed with someone over whether or not they felt morally superior to you because they do or they do not eat certain things? Now, I saw a survey posted on Facebook Wednesday. It was asking if anyone thinks eating pork is a sin. Yeah, somebody actually asked that. It was hard for me to resist answering the question. But in verse 19 of St. Mark chapter 7, our gospel chapter for today, Jesus declared all foods clean. And I wrote that in my response. But I added, yet some things are still unhealthy to eat. For example, you can't live healthily on a diet of ding-dongs and Dr. Pepper. Trust me, I tried that. It doesn't work. So I wrote that too. It's not a sin to eat those things, and you won't go to hell if you have a Twinkie. But if you try to live that way, you might end up in heaven sooner than you ought to be. So, Jesus pretty well covers that in today's passage when he says, "Hear me, everyone, and understand. There is nothing that enters a man from the outside which can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. Here Jesus was talking about food, something going in, but what he was talking about on the things that coming out of a man are the things that are the product of these two places, the heart and the head. There are a couple of passages that cover this issue besides the one in Mark. The first is Romans 14:20-23. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are pure, Paul says. But it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat meat nor drink wine nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. James 4:17 says, therefore, him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 says, we're not commended to God by what we eat or what we don't. But if you know you're doing something that's going to make your brother stumble, don't do that thing. At least not in front of him if you haven't been convicted about whether or not it's wrong. Is everybody following me? Everybody, does this make sense? So what does Jesus say at the end of today's gospel reading? For from within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. It's what's on the inside. It's from our hearts that the seeds of death are sown. We get prideful, we get jealous, we get envious. And by the way, jealousy and envy are two different things. Envy means discontented longing for someone else's advantages, such as property or possessions. Jealousy means unpleasant suspicion or apprehension or rivalship. This applies to the appearance or in a company or whether someone gets a promotion and you don't, and you get jealous saying, I should have gotten that. Jealousy is directed at others when they are part of the in crowd. How often have we read about sins and crimes being committed, like robbery, kidnapping, adultery, or murder, as a result of jealousy or envy of something or someone? Ooh, I'll get that so-and-so. They'll get what's coming to them. Okay? And as you heard, Jesus included covetousness in that list. Why? It's because if we're envious or jealous of someone, we're coveting something they have to which we think we are entitled. So in the end, it comes down to whether or not we'll trust God enough to be content with what he's given to us. We'll seek to deepen our own walk with the Lord and not put our filters, meaning expectations, on someone else's relationship with Jesus. We don't judge their spirituality by our yardstick. Scripture is the meter. Scripture is the filter, and Scripture is the standard. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.